Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thank you so much for being with us today. We look at COPE's manifesto, and with us in studio is COPE's Gauteng chairperson, Dr. Thomas Mofokeng. Thanks again for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Thank you for being here.
And good evening to your listeners.
Good evening. We're going to be looking at COPE's manifesto. Now, just a quick one. You have publicly, as COPE said, you're going to go to this election, and after the election, you're then going to have your national conference, at which point you're going to have to elect a leader of the party. Does that mean that on the current ballot that we're going to see going into the election, Ntatelo Kota will or will not be on your national ballot?
Ntatelo Kota will be on our national ballot. Mm-hmm. And yes, it is true that we will be going to our national elective congress. Mm-hmm. And the reason that made us to do it after the election, the national elections, is purely for two reasons. One, we realize that, you know, as a party that is not well funded, it is better to use those resources to campaign. Mm-hmm. Rather than doing internal democracy. Mm-hmm. So we then the second reason is, we really want to give the person that will be coming in time to acclimatize himself with everything that is happening in COPE policies and so on. And I must say that is very important to us, because we regard our policies as the best policies compared to other parties. Excellent policies that just need to be implemented, and that needs to be explained to the public of South Africa.
Mm-hmm. So those nominations will come through at your national conference, meaning that is Mr. Lokota going to have to step down? Is his term over?
Mr. Lokota has served his two terms, and our constitution requires that a national leader should serve two terms only. Now, what we have been thinking is that you'll remember there was a time that when he became a little bit sick and so on, but we realized that as a party, it will be nice for us not to allow him to resign before that because of sickness, but to take us to the Congress so that he can hand over the party to the Congress and give the members of the party a chance to either appreciate him, or maybe we should think about what other responsibilities that he can play into the party, because the wealth of knowledge that he has is very important, not only to Congress of the People, but also to the entire country.
Mm. As you say that, you've also called for election reform in the country. You've been quite vocal about it. You're saying that you would like the people to be the people who actually elect members, their representatives, not the parties doing that. Just maybe expand a bit on that one.
Let me start by saying that we don't only speak about it in the public platforms, but right inside Congress of the People, the leaders, the top six of the party, are elected by members, even those that are not in the Congress. You know, we are doing those things electronically. Mm-hmm. They had to register maybe their cell phone numbers and all those kind of things. And at the time when voting comes, we get votes even from people, members of the party, that are sitting at home. So that is something that is very important to us as a party, because a leader is not a leader of a certain sector or faction, but it is a leader of everybody. Now, we'd like to see that happening even in the country, so that we can own the leadership or the president of the country, the mayors and the premiers, so that we can know that these are the people that we have put our trust in, and so that they can also account to us as the citizens of the country, rather than them following the party line when it comes to important decision making.
Mr. Legota, from the launch of the manifesto, has been speaking about crime and corruption, and also just been talking a little bit about the death penalty, saying that we need to review and discuss and have a debate, a national debate on that. What is the party thinking around the death penalty?
We definitely agree with him, and because that is also a policy of the party. In our recent policy conferences, you know, we have been talking about the importance of defending our people, defending communities, defending our country. And it starts with an individual. And he even went further, or Cope is even saying, the first thing that we must consider is to introduce voluntary military conscription. You know, where young people will be taken away from the streets, they must go sit before the leaders of the country, military leaders, to teach them to defend our country from all kinds of enemies. Even people, you know, mamas at home, they must be able to handle a gun to defend her children from an enemy or any other thing. That is the step number one of dealing with crime. Because if we start doing that, we are definitely making sure that there are no people coming outside the country who are trained, because this is what we are experiencing in the country. People coming from other African countries who have been exposed to military training, and they arrive here, they take advantage of our defenseless people. And that is why crime is so high in the country. But we are saying we should start there. And secondly, we should also make sure that if the courts of the country are convinced that you have actually done a crime that cannot be pardoned, why should we keep you for 50 years in jail feeding you, when you have actually destroyed a family or some other people? You know, last week it was this funeral of this young man playing for Kaizer Chiefs. A sad story. A young man that is so focused on developing himself, developing and working for himself, his family, and, you know, loved by many because of his skill, who has just taken, whose life was taken by people that were irresponsible.
Except that you've said there is absolutely nothing wrong with the Constitution. It's just the way in which we have not managed government. This would go against the Constitution, the current Constitution.
We are actually, when it comes to that, we'll have to amend the Constitution. Constitutions can be amended. And the other thing that is very important is that even if we want to amend the Constitution when it comes to that, we are also saying, you know, other laws must be improved. We are learning from other countries. Our next door neighbor in Botswana, go and mess up with the citizens of Botswana and see whether what we'll get. So it's we have to start loving the citizens of this country and stopping to expose them to any kind of danger. Because if they are being killed by these people, these merciless people, and then we take these people to jail and all those kind of things, the families lose their people, their you know, breadwinners. They lose fathers and mothers and every girls. Young girls are dying for no reasons these days.
Well, I say that because your manifesto says the Constitution shouldn't be touched. So you're saying maybe you should.
No, we are saying we'll defend the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And defending the Constitution, you know, there are political leaders that are saying their party constitutions are better than the constitution of the country. We have heard that on public platforms. But as COPE, you'll remember even when we started the party, it was a constitutional, it was constitutional differences that we were actually defending. The taking away of the scorpions. And somebody went to amend that and called the scorpions something else. Now, we are definitely defending what the country has already agreed upon, but we are not against anybody that will bring an amendment. But if that amendment passes in Parliament, then it has to be defended.
Well, what other things do you want to review in the Constitution?
Well, it's quite a number of things, you know. When it comes to issues like mining, for example, we think that these are laws that are not actually benefiting the communities that find themselves
mm-hmm.
sitting on that land, you know. We are looking at this. You know, go to Limpopo. You'll see our platinum taken out of the country, sent to Richards Bay, and you'll never see it again.
Mm.
Now, those are other things that we definitely have to look into to say, how do we, as a Congress of the People, make sure that those who leave, you'll remember the other thing, we are actually
mm-hmm.
Pronouncing the Freedom Charter. And that is what the Freedom Charter says, to say those who are in the country will benefit from the resources of the country.
Yeah.
Yes.
But those policies are actually in place. It's just that they're not implemented. But what would you like to change specifically? Because actually, they, when you look at the policies that are there, that they're not being implemented is a different story. What would you like to change?
Yes, as policies, I think they mm-hmm. are there, but as constitutional rights, mm-hmm. they are not there. The Constitution speaks very less about it. We want the Constitution to be as clear as anything. You know, if I have to go further, this country has got traditional leaders
mm-hmm.
that are actually having people that are accounting to them with land, with minerals. These people go to this traditional leaders. These people, traditional leaders, are powerless. All the powers have been taken by us, the politicians, and not including the people that are there who are supposed to be doing certain responsibilities, you know, in allocating resources to their people. So these are other things, small things that we definitely, small but important things that we definitely have to look into and make sure that they are implemented correctly.
So you would advocate for more powers to the chiefs and the traditional, to the chiefs in this instance,
yes,
of the land.
We'll definitely do that. Because
you think that works? You've seen how it works in other places where people cry about the fact that the chiefs, you know, have the power of attorney. They abuse and misuse and do not have proper negotiations with the mining companies. They point to the chiefs as being part of the problem.
They do so, but those chiefs are doing it out of their mind, out of their free will and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But how many countries, let's look at Scandinavian countries and the royal houses that are there.
Yeah.
You know, there is a very good synergy between government and traditional leaders. There are no problems there. And that is where you'll find that instead of empowering individuals, mm-hmm. communities are empowered. So as COPE, we want to come up with a policy that will say, let us look more on what we'll be calling CEE rather than what we'll call BEE. Because CEE will be community empowerment, economic empowerment more than, taking an individual and making him, to have all access to the land, mm-hmm. to the resources of the land.
Hi, Pumelo, why Mr. Kwata, these people who are working with him always try to push him out? For people like Malima Butelezi and Kolomisa, who've been the leader of their party for many, many years, nobody disturbed them. So why Lukwata, for many, many years, always they push him? He never rested, that guy, at the COP. Always people want him out. I don't know why. This guy is a professional leader. I don't understand. Even this guy who's talking with you now, I can hear that maybe also you don't want Lukwata from Thabwe in Johannesburg.
All right, that's a voice note coming through. You can also send your voice notes on 0636880959. You can also call in 0860000959. I'm with the COPE Gauteng chairperson, Thomas Mofokeng. Tata Mofokeng, you heard the question.
Yes, and I must say to the listener, I'm one of the most, the admirer of Ntate Lekota. I am working with him hand in hand. I take wisdom from him at all times. Mm. From the beginning, when some other people were trying to challenge him, myself and other leaders, most leaders that are left in the party now, we have been defending him. Mm. And we love him. We know he's an asset to the country. But this time around, it's a constitutional requirement. And that is why we are saying this has to be taken to the Congress for the members to decide what do we do. And I think if the listener was listening from the beginning, I said, we are going to say, what responsibility are we going to give to him? It's not pushing him out, but it's to embrace him and get all the wisdom that we can get out of him.
Mm. So have things settled down? We've seen the infighting. It's been public. Have things settled down? Are you confident going into this election that you're not going to have internal distractors, detractors, and people who are going to be pulling you away from your campaigning going into the election?
Pamela, I can assure you that those little mistakes have been rectified. And the people that we're trying to do any other thing that is unconstitutional or doesn't agree with the constitution of the of Congress of the People have been chucked out, including the deputy president, just by making a small mistake of thinking that when the president is sick, it is time for him to do as he wish. So all those kind of things have been rectified. We are sticking to discipline. And sometimes people think that when we practice discipline, that is disunity. No, we are definitely doing it. Now, on the incident of public fighting that you are talking about, Pamela, these were criminals. Hmm. We opened a criminal case against. Those are not members of Congress of the People. It was people who were given Congress of the People t-shirts. Mm. I didn't know those people. I didn't know, as a leader of Gauteng, where their membership was lying.
For a while, though, even on the media, we would almost hear what sounds like parallel structures. Someone would say, no, I am now the leader, and it sounded like these are factional battles. And are you confident that we're not going to have what sounds like parallel structures? Because that's what we had for a while, even in the media. When you speak to one leader, they say, no, I'm not that person. I'm not, Mr. Lekota is not the leader. I'm the leader. And it went on for quite some time.
Yes, but you know, those, you know, I always say it is difficult to be in opposition politics, because it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. People are looking for jobs. People are looking, are eyeing at one's position that is there. But if you are in government, you'll say, okay, my brother, I'll make you a director of agriculture somewhere or whatever. You know, you can spread your people. But when you are in opposition politics, it's even worse. But the same people that are looking at the differences that we are having, mm-hmm. As Congress of the People, because wherever there are two people, people will think differently. Now, they are not focusing on what we have seen happening in all the parties, young parties like Action SA. There was trouble there that was not magnified the way the small problems in there is something in the ANC where somebody hasn't even resigned as a member, but they started the party. You know, those kind of confusions. We cannot be seen as this party that is, you know, out of all political parties are having those bumpy roads.
Yeah, but Mr. Mofokeng, you must admit you guys did not handle yourselves. We didn't go out looking for the story. It is your members that publicly insulted each other. You have to admit that.
That I admit.
Yeah.
That I admit, Pamela. Yeah. And
That's okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about cadre deployment. It's in your manifesto and your position on that.
That is one of the things that is actually destroying the country. We need to professionalize our public sector. It has to be people who are capable, people who have gone to school for certain things. It shouldn't be bringing somebody that will not even understand simple things like how to maintain a park. You know, it must be somebody that has gone to school. So cadre deployment is a no-no to us, and we feel that this is what has actually brought this country down.
So you don't agree at all on the principle of cadre deployment?
Not at all.
So you will not be appointing your own members if you go into government as your provincial candidates?
Government as provincial candidates.
Your preferred candidates.
Oh, well, staff members in the office. I have been MMC in Johannesburg here for economic development. There were 2-3 people that were helping me to make sure that the policies of the party,
correct,
are actually
actualized.
Actualized. But
that is cadre deployment, though.
No, that is actually people that are assisting in the office of the it's like getting a PA. I have to get in politics. I have to get somebody that I trust, somebody that will understand my party better than any other. But if I take a civil engineer, mm-hmm. and put him there, mm-hmm. sometimes put somebody that doesn't even qualify or who is less qualified to do that job, I'm no longer assisting myself and the party. I'm now destroying the country, because I'm in government for the purposes of running the country better.
Is the issue the term cadre deployment, or what it seems to be deemed to be? Because if you did find an engineer who's qualified in your party, would you not appoint that person?
That I can do.
That is cadre deployment, though. That people have now started associating cadre deployment with the ruling party doesn't mean that cadre deployment doesn't mean that you will appoint the correct individual into the correct party, into the correct position from your own party.
Pamela, if the statistics can be looked into, and if proper research can can be taken.
Here's the reason why I ask you. People who are listening here may be your own members, right? Who are listening from other parts of the country, who've been committed and so on. And they would find it strange that when you come into government, they would be overlooked even if they qualify. And so you've got to clarify that, because they would be thinking, well, why wouldn't my party look out for me if I'm qualified and I deserve the position? And I would also implement the policies.
When it comes to that, we agree. And I fully agree with you, Pamela. Mm. It has to be a qualified person who is trained to do the job. And when I bring you from my party, if that is the case, mm-hmm. Then I'm not deploying you to give you favors, but I'm deploying you to play your skills out there to improve your country. But what we are seeing right now is something very different. It definitely so is something very different.
Which is corruption. Let's go to Ntate Selby, who is calling us from Orange Farm. Ntate Selby, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamelo. Good evening, Thomas. How are you?
I'm good, my brother. How are you?
I'm blessed beyond measure. Now, Thomas, I'm very much glad to hear what you are saying, even though with that sentence, I doubt that you are going to succeed. But I'm not there. Thomas, my first question is that how are you going to deal with this foreigners' plaza shops that are mushrooming like nothing else in South Africa, because each and every corner we've got foreigners' plaza shops. At the streets, there are no South Africans who are selling tomatoes and the like. Few of them, they are selling that. Only foreigners. South Africans, they no more have businesses or place to make businesses, and they are selling their things cheap in such a way that we do not know who is helping them or what are they... in fact, what is it that is helping them to bring their prices so down? Now, just tell us, how are you going to deal with that? Because it is giving South Africa a problem. Every South African who opened a business, that his business is bound to be bankrupt because of these people. Thank you.
Thank you, Ntate Selby.
There still be. Thank you for that question. You know, you are spot on. These plaza shops are actually killing the economy of the country. We don't even know where these people are getting their products from. You know, their products are manufactured somewhere. They actually take the other brands and change them to be something else. They are not paying taxes. They are not employing anybody from our communities. So my answer to your question is, these plaza shops will not definitely continue. The same way Zama Zama will not be continuing. You know, all those kind of funny businesses that are being done without checks and balances will have to be closed down.
Okay, there is an X coming from Wendy Isaacs who says, guests have said much about foreign nationals. However, no mention of the 2019 National Action Plan to End Racism and Xenophobia. A clear policy document with action items to be implemented. Does COPE support this policy or not? If not, what concrete ways do you address these challenges?
The question is, how do we address the foreign nationals issue?
No mention of the 2019 National Action Plan to End Racism and Xenophobia. A clear policy document with action items to be implemented. Does COPE support this policy or not?
We will not support anything that will promote racism. I've already said that we have cut most of our policies from what the Freedom Charter says. Freedom Charter says South Africa will belong to all those who live in it. Now, the other thing is, when it comes to foreign nationals, mm-hmm. we will definitely appreciate foreign nationals that are coming legally. But what is happening now, floodgates have been opened. Anybody, even people without skills, are here, and the country has to take care of those people. And if they are hungry, if they don't have accommodation and all this, and they are a burden to our country, that is something that we will not accept.
Okay, so she also goes on to say, what concrete ways do you address these challenges then?
Well, I think the best way to do it is to make sure that our borders are well looked after, is to make sure, as I've already mentioned, that we have to train more military people who will help guard our borders, even those who will be reservists, you know, will come and assist when they are needed and so on. But the issue of the borders are not supposed to be here. Any country that loves, you know, I'm always visiting countries like China. You feel at the airport that you know, you have to do the right thing. You have to produce right documents at the airport by a 23-year-old girl who will demand and make sure that you do the right thing, because patriotism has been taught to these people. And this is exactly what you want to do as South Africans.
As COPE, you're concerned about a bloated government. You're saying that needs to be addressed. How?
You know, I don't see why America will run with about 200 MPs nationwide, and South Africa will run with 400 people. That, to me, doesn't make sense. You will actually, even if you can go to a municipal, only one person speaks, the rest of the people are sitting there, 100 of them, saying nothing, doing nothing. Even if there is no vote, they have just visited there. Can't we just find the best brains in the country to try and run this country and make sure that we are represented by best brains that will also represent us outside of this country? You know, I believe that by just bringing anybody to be and not choosing the people that will be capable to do so, we are actually enlarging corruption, because a person that doesn't understand or that will be lazy to read those documents that comes from qualified researchers, that comes from executive directors that has 3-4 degrees, and you are sitting there not even able to read that thing and understand it, you can't be in parliament. So we definitely believe in a smaller government.
COPE in Gauteng chairperson is with us today, and you are very welcome to call in 086-000-00959. You can also send an X, by the way, at Kaya on Air is where you can find us, and you can send a voice note on 063-688-0959. Thomas Mofokeng is our guest this evening.
Yeah, I hear the COPE and its manifesto that those who are killing reckless or senseless killers should be punished. And then that is the problem that we face in our country. We have many arms, weapons in the hands of the criminals. That is the problem that we face in our country, because now there is a huge unemployment, and then it can cause chaos in our country. Thank you.
Your response?
I definitely agree with the caller, and I'm happy that he understands our point of view. You know, it's more of protecting South Africans than any other thing. And, you know, the other thing that you ask yourself is, where do these weapons come from? You know, it's another new business. Because they definitely not come from AMSCO. Mm. They are coming from other countries, smuggled into our country to come and kill our own people. We have seen these people resisting the police with powerful weapons and all those kind of things. So I definitely agree with the caller.
Let's talk about the economy and what needs to happen to grow this economy. You speak a lot about the township economy, but you also reflect on growing the middle class.
Yes. Well, you know, we came up with this policy and we gave ourselves enough time. And we have been actually led by Mamulindol Shope Mafole, and she's married now. She's using who went to do a study of how countries should run easier. All the political parties in the country will tell you we are for the poor. Yes, we have to take care of the poor. But what happens to the middle class? Middle class are elected, are neglected. People who, you know, your ordinary police, your ordinary doctors, lawyers, and the people who went to school to study business, economics, and all those things are neglected. And that is why we are having so many of them with degrees sitting out there. But COPE is saying we have to make sure that we increase the quality and the quantity of the middle class and their households, because these are the people that are very important, as Pamela. Let me tell you why. These are the people that are worried when there is no medication in a hospital. These are people that are worried if their children are not getting good education. They stand up and go and talk to and address that issue. And if we are not going to strengthen them, and their aspirations of doing that are of a benefit to the country. But if we neglect them and not invest in them, we'll never have people that will start, your SMMEs. We'll never. And as they start the SMMEs, they pull the poor and make them to have, to be able to can have a stake in the economy. And the second thing is, if you are not going to invest and put more of your money into the middle class, you are actually making sure that the country fails, because there you have your thinkers, you have your the people that will help you to implement, these people who have interest in making the country's economy to grow. Your tax base comes from the same people, the middle class and so on. Now, if you increase it, you can actually rake in as much more money from these people to put it back to the services that the country needs, and that will impact on the poor. But you'll find many political parties taking advantage, saying they love the poor just because they want their vote, because they will not understand. And if you are actually strengthening the middle class, those people, the middle class, are not going to vote for you because you are bringing a bag of a food parcel to them. They are independent people that the country so much needs. So as COPE, we're saying, we have put, if you can actually put aside for from now to 2035, we can actually broaden our middle class from 2 million to 5 million. And that is what this country needs. And now our schools will be better, our universities will be better, our technology universities will grow. Right now, the whole country has got about less than 10 technology universities, when the whole world is moving into technology, we have to make sure, you know, there are many countries, some do not even have resources, natural resources, but they invest in the middle class, who will do those countries so much and make them to prosper. I don't want to mention them, but you know, that once you do that, you are actually working on stable communities, you know. And all these things that we see of people not sitting around the streets, not working and all those things, it's a solution that will be broadened by the middle class. One school teacher can employ two people. The one that is doing ironing, the one that is cleaning the house, or whatever the case might be. And directly or indirectly, the poor will be assisted if this government can focus on it. And that is what we want to implement as Congress of the People. Grow these things so that we can have as many SMMEs as possible.
You're hoping to grow for this election. What are your prospects in your view?
Pamela, this is the only interview, and I must thank you for it. That doesn't chop us down as Congress of the People. You go to interviews, people will tell you, hey, in 2008, Mr. Shilowa and Mr. Lukota, you can just see that these people do not even understand what the Congress of the People is all about. But having been given a platform like this where we can clarify our policies and clarify what we stand for and why we left the ANC to come and be this political party that is coming with innovative ideas, we are expecting more. We started with 7%, and I don't see any reason why we will get less than 7% again this coming election.
So people are listening. They are keen to know who's going to be on your provincial ballot as well. Is that going to be you?
In Gauteng, yes.
In Gauteng.
Yes,
in the Gauteng province.
Yes.
All right, so we'll speak about what will happen in Gauteng at another time. But we really appreciate you coming through. I think there is a voice note. I'm not sure. I think there's another voice note that came through for you. I just want to double check that we haven't missed anything. Quickly, maybe, as your final pitch, why should people vote for COPE?
People should vote for COPE for two reasons, and I'll make an example. The problem, the biggest problem that we have in this country is, ESCOM. Mm. And with ESCOM, we have so many problems that are stifling our businesses, that are stifling everything that we are trying to come up with. But as COPE, we are saying, what is the real problem here? You'll find that simple things like the diesel that Sasol needs is not being procured from our own company, Sasol. Our own company that is actually manufacturing petrol and oil from us. We depend on this BP, British Petroleum, Total, and all those things. And as a matter of fact, a little bit, I've just made a research and found that we have oil between Namibia and South African mm-hmm. border there, mm-hmm. and that the rights of mining that oil has been given to a French company. This is sickness, it's madness. When we have our own company that can do much more better, Sasol, the whole town has come up. We have a Sasol 2. Where is Sasol 4, 5, 10, Sasol 10 or something like that? Because we have coal that can do, and you will not have any problem of getting that diesel into into Eskom. And once you get the diesel into Eskom, think about employment that is going to be there. Our young people, because there you need technology to can refine those oils and all those things. Our young people will be needed everywhere in the world, because not even countries like China has this chance of having their own petrol. Everybody take petrol and oil from crude. But we are saying the things that are there, we need to make sure that, why are we not subsidizing farming, agriculture, to make sure that, things are cheaper, food is cheaper for us, and we can even export food for that matter. It's because we are concentrating on wrong things instead of expanding our country. There is, these things called silos, that you see. Those are silos that have been left by apartheid. There is no silo in a homeland somewhere in Eastern Cape, because this government doesn't even think that you need to think about food security and all those kind of things. You know why we take our manifesto to Hammanskraal?
Tell us.
Just to expose those kind of things, that these communities that are not basically
in urban areas
are so much important to us. There was a police academy in Hammanskraal.
Yes.
What happened to that? Nobody cares. It's basically closed, because when we ask what is happening to that, don't we need those police that were even being sent to what was used to called homelands? That is mismanagement of the country. Why is Hammanskraal still having no water 30 years in this economy? Why are we having people dying from
cholera
in Hammanskraal? Now, this is just but an example. And that is why we say infrastructure in the rural areas has to be priority. And in urban areas, we need to maintain the infrastructure that we have. Because even the roads that we inherited from the apartheid government are not being maintained. We are just driving on them without maintenance and so on. And that is why COPE says, vote for us. We will definitely make a difference.
Well, let's look forward to that election day. Thank you so much for coming through. Really appreciate it.
Tamina, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We really appreciate the whole family of Congress of the People appreciate this invitation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. COPE Gauteng Chairperson Thomas Mofokeng. We'll have another time where we discuss matters of Gauteng, as we have promised, leading up to these elections. But thank you very much for taking your time to listen into this conversation. It will be available as a podcast as well. So go to our platforms, go to @KayaOnAir. You can also go to our website as well. That's it. We'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.